Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Steve Weiss.
Friends, this lesson that I've prepared for us here this evening is one that I want the young people to pay particular attention to. But not only is it good for the young, but the older are not immune from the things that are going on in this world. Friends, used to, if someone remained married for 25 years, they kept that marriage together, but today it's no longer so. People in their later years are now getting divorced. Friends, we're in the me generation. What pleases me? What gives me pleasure? And it applies also in religion. Think about this. How that people indeed are looking for their own style. What makes them happy in their worship to God. George Barna, in a recent book, said that we're becoming a nation of 310 million people with 310 million different religions. Think about what he's saying. Now, we understand he's looking from a world perspective on that. But indeed, is it not true? One of the gods, the false gods, the idolatry that is going on in the world today is that I am my own God. I decide what I want to do. I decide what pleases me. And friends, when you turn to ideas, theologies like evolution, if there is no God, then why should there be a moral standard? Why should there be that reigning in of what I want to do, what makes me happy, if there is no God to answer to, if there is no day of judgment coming? And so we need to think about that for ourselves. Doing the will of God is something you and I, we're striving to do. But in the world today, we need to stop and ask, which God are you trying to do the will of? Because friends, without even realizing it, many people in this world are following after idolatry. And we're going to look at some of those here in this lesson. You remember, back in ages past, during the days of Jesus and prior to that, that there in that place of Greece, Athens, here this temple stood, among many temples there, but this one stands out. It was the temple of Aphrodite, called Venus in the Roman system, the goddess of love. It is said that this place had 1,000 prostitutes. And in their worship to this goddess, that is the goddess of love, these priestesses, they called them, engaged in relationships, physical relationships, and charging money, and that's how they worshiped this God. Friends, it is far away from the idea of God in heaven as someone could possibly get. But it was a God of pleasure, a God seeking His own, and no moral restraint. And so we're going to think about that as we have this lesson for us today. Now, the first God that I want to speak to you about here is the God called Pornia. Now, we know this better in English language as fornication. Now, friends, we understand that, of course, this is an action, is something that takes place, this word fornication. But are we making it a God? Are we worshiping it as idolatry today? Friends, we don't have to look far outside, of course. We see that happening. But even inside the church, this thing happens from time to time. Friends, we need to learn about it. We need to be aware of this that is indeed going on. The God of Pornia is a God of sexual immorality, of all illicit sexual behavior. That's what it is. That which is outside of the marriage which God designed for it to take place there. Now, manifestations of this idol, this God that we're talking about here, the manifestations of this God in the world today, of course, we understand premarital sex. I hate to be so blunt, But friends, if you think that your children are not being exposed to this kind of thing, you need to think again. As I mentioned on Sunday, 40% of the newborns in this country are born to unwed mothers. 75% of teenagers are engaging in physical relationships before they graduate high school. 75%. Friends, do we think that we are immune? We better check our thinking. With the access to the internet that is so free and all that goes on there, and the interaction between our children and children who are not raised up with moral restraints, we need to look at this and examine exactly what is going on. And so, not only that, but people are cohabitating before they get married. Is how many people in this U.S. now are doing that very thing. And think about all the stars, the people that we look up to that are engaging in this kind of activity. And they make it sound like it's okay. It's all right. It's the way the world is. It's the way normal people act. And our children are being raised up in that kind of atmosphere. That kind of attitude is all around. And so we need to take account of where our children are spending their time, of where they're growing up. Young people, restrain yourselves. Don't follow the way of the world. Do not engage in these things because you want to do the will of God. But if you're following after this, are you following that God of pornea? Pleasing yourself? Friends, we see it all around us. Marriages are ending. 50% of marriages are coming to an end in this world today. And friends, it's happening among our children. Yes, it is. And so we need to be aware of it and we need to fight against it. We need to stand where God would have us to stand and not be moved. But do those things that God wants us to do. And then there's the Greek god, Asogeia. Now, this god is also known as lasciviousness. Friends, we see that word in the Bible. But oftentimes, we don't really know exactly what that word means. It is the god of unbridled or unrestrained lust. Yeah, we see it, we desire it, we're going to have it. Friends, that's the idea that is put forth here. It is indulgence in sensual pleasure and shameful behavior. That's what was going on back in those days. And why do we think that we're immune to it today? Friends, you don't have to look far. I remember a story about this lady was telling about her father. Her father would always guard the family, and he would not allow a drunk to come inside the house. You know, sometimes people passing by. He would not allow any guest who came into his house to say curse words. He would never allow anyone to be disrespectful to his wife or his family when they came into his home. He was a very well-mannered and a highly moral man. But then one day he invited a friend into his home. And this friend began to drink and began to smoke there in the home and began to use foul language, and the father just overlooked it. The father just said, "Oh, let it go. It'll be all right. Don't worry." Then there was not only that, but nakedness that came about. There was lewdness, there was adultery that came about because this visitor that came into the home. And it was having an impact on his family. Friends, this visitor's name was called television. Now, I'm not against us watching television. I love Andy Griffith. I love some of those old programs that really strive to hang on to the moral fibers that were in existence. But friends, think about the modern shows that are on the television. and how that they not only bring drinking and cursing into your home, but they also bring adultery and nakedness, nudity, right there in your very living room. And how we put up with it. We need to think about it. What God are we worshiping? What God are we looking for as we think about these very things? We need to consider this. Pursuing lustful desires is one of the things that this God, Asogeia, represents. And we are involved in these things even today. Indecent bodily movements. Dancing. We ever wonder why the old timers, we might call them, always said, no, you stay away from the prom. You ever seen that reality show called Dancing with the Stars? When I've been flipping through the channels, I've seen it come on, but friends, I didn't stay there. Indecent bodily movements. And we need to watch out for it. Friends, our children grow up thinking it's acceptable because we're sitting there engaging ourselves in such things. But I wonder if Jesus was sitting in our living room physically, would we be watching that? We need to consider this as we think about it. The unchaste touching of males and females, that's this God, Asogeia. Lasciviousness. Are we worshiping that God? Are we bowing down to that God of this world? We need to watch ourselves. We need to be careful. The manifestations that we might see in this, I'm getting a little ahead of myself there, is engaging in proms and dances, going to clubs and having that kind of lifestyle, having roaming hands that ought to be kept to yourself. But friends, do we sometimes comfort ourselves by saying, well, they're going to do it anyway, so just let it go. If we close a blind eye, then why should we be surprised when such things go on? You and I, we need to be aware. We need to know, what are our children looking at on the internet? What are our grandchildren? We need to teach them as we're sitting with them and eating. We need to teach them while we're driving down the road. And we need to help them to build that moral standard that will give them the foundation to say no when these temptations come their way. Because friends, this is the way of the world. And then there's the Greek god Epithumia. And this we know as lust. It's akin to lasciviousness there, of course. But friends, think about this. How is it manifested? Well, it is the illicit desires and fantasies that some engage in the world. It is the desires of the flesh that long to be satisfied and are seeking that opportunity to satisfy them. Friends, you remember the old saying that you can't stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can surely keep it from building a nest there. And so you and I, yes, those thoughts, Satan tempts us with such things, but we can also focus on something else. We don't have to keep our mind in that gutter. But we can move on. We can find something righteous, something good. One of the things that I like to suggest to people is when Satan brings these temptations upon you, what a great time to pray. Friends, it is really difficult to focus on lust while you're praying. And you bow your head to the God Most High. That is one of the things that we need to have. And then another thing I call is train your brain. We need to be a people who are training our brain and helping our children to train their brain. Because yes, those opportunities do come for lusting. But friends, when you recognize that that's what's going on in your own heart, turn. Look at something else. Find something else to think about. Something else to concentrate on. You know, if old David, while he was up there on the roof when he first saw Bathsheba there, if he had turned around and found something else to think about, how different his life would be. How different it would be. And so we need to consider ourselves as we think about that. Now this, of course, manifesting itself, this idol doing that, people who look longingly in a sexual manner at one another. Friends, pornography is rampant. A few years ago, it was not so accessible as it is today. But if you have cable TV, it's there. Used to, back when I was growing up, you know the old saying, we had that TV with the remote that said, son, get up and change the channel. That was the remote, you know. Only had three choices anyway. But today, there's a multitude of choices. And so many of them are filled with the filth of this world. And so we need to be careful. Don't ever worry that you're going to offend your child by going and checking upon what they're watching. Don't put a TV in their bedroom. Don't put a computer in their bedroom. Keep it where you can see what they're watching, what they're looking at, what they're following. Because I'm telling you, it's out there. And once they get that freedom that they can partake of it, it's hard to break it. It's hard to get away from it. It's better to never allow it to begin. And so you and I, we need to consider that. And then also there's the Greek god Gumnos. Friends, summertime is drawing near. And you know when that sun gets hot, what we love to do is to go out and get on the beach, get that tan, and of course to get a tan you got to have a bathing suit. My aunt one time was watching the television, they were showing some people in their bathing suits, and she said a Band-Aid would cover more. Think about it. But yet we allow our children from a young age to wear these skimpy outfits at the pool. You know the old joke, my grandma had to get her a new bathing suit because she wore the knees out of her old one. But we've gotten away from that, haven't we? Far away. But we need to go back. We need to go back to that very thing. This God of nakedness, naked, bare, uncovered, unclothed is what it is talking about. Inadequately clothed. Think about Genesis chapter 3, where there Adam and Eve discovered after eating of the forbidden fruit that they were naked. And so what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. And they made themselves an apron. But this apron made of fig leaves was not sufficient. It didn't cover what... Matter of fact, God still said that they were naked. Adam and Eve said they were naked. Even with the fig leaves. And so God made them coverings to cover. Scantily or lightly clothed. This God, Gumnos. Friends, you don't have to go to Hollywood anymore to see it. It is right here in this community. You remember how that Peter in John chapter 21, when he was out there on the fishing boat and Jesus was on the shore? Peter there was in his undergarments that he was fishing. He wasn't naked, but he didn't have on the proper clothes to go and to meet Jesus. And so he put on his outer garment and he went to meet Jesus. We need to consider for ourselves our very actions, our lives. And this manifestations of this idol includes, as I mentioned, bathing suits, modern day bathing suits, the bikinis, but it also shows itself in mini skirts, in tops that are cut too low, in clothing that is stretched too tight. I want you to think about this as well, because sometimes we engage in this particular thing, is that we buy clothing that has designs or words to draw the attention to specific body parts. Why do you think this advertiser invented putting the name or the brand name of the workout pants across the backside? Why would you advertise there? It draws the attention. We need to be careful about these things. We want to show the world the righteousness of God. And we don't want to be obeying or bowing down to these idols that are out here in the world today. We want to be people who are indeed doing what God would have us to do. But this God of Porneia, the God of Asogeia, the God of Epithumia and Gumnos are dangers to each and every one of us as well. We're not immune. And we need to understand what God would have us to do. What is His will for us? And so we want to examine that for a few minutes. But don't you notice these things are tied together. We'll see more about that in a moment. Sanctification in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. Please look there. For this is the will of God. Friend, that ought to catch our attention. I want to do the will of God. And so this is the will of God. He talks about your sanctification. That word sanctification, of course, means to be set apart. It means to be useful. It means to be holy and righteous, that God can indeed use you. Turn from idols. Turn from those things in the world that are taking you away or damaging your influence or hurting your relationship with God. We need to be a people who are standing strong. We need to remove the unholy desires and the habits that afflict us in this world. Oh, turn over with me, please, to Mark chapter 7, verse 21, just a moment. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back again. But Mark chapter 7, verse number 21. Jesus speaking here says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed..." Now notice these things. "Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." You see the beginning there? Lust. Then lasciviousness. And then the adultery. I don't know of anyone that committed adultery that didn't first lust. It began in the heart. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," Romans 12 and verse number 2. And so we need to take that to heart, my friends, and understand what God's will is for us today. That we not be conformed to this world. How does the world know that you are different? If you engage in these things. If you bow down to these gods. The world will not know that you are different. But then also, we're set apart for sanctification unto God. Friends, that's what we're called out of the world, ecclesia. And we're called into the service of God. We're called into the family of God. I am a child of God, and I ought to reflect God's moral standards. You remember the people said to Jesus in John chapter 8, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said, "If Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham." Oh, me. So, by my works, I will be judged. Whether or not I am indeed a faithful follower of God. We're called to be holy. God is holy, so we should be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. We are transformed into the image of Christ, Romans 8 and verse 29. That is, when the blood of Jesus is applied to us, then we become holy and righteous like Jesus Christ. And so we are called unto God to be this. We must continue following Jesus. Continue walking in His steps. Continue having His mind. You remember Philippians 2 and verse 5? Let this mind be in you that was also in Jesus Christ. Not only that, but also sanctification requires self-control. As we stand in this world, which direction will we choose? Self-control is what decides that. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, flee fornication. Run away. Stay away from that. Friends, I've practiced that in my lifetime. There was a time that I was a deputy sheriff and went serving papers to this house, and there was a lady who came to the door, and I asked her about the gentleman that we were searching for to serve the papers on. And she said, he moved a long time ago, doesn't live here anymore. But she smiled a sweet smile and said, you come back after you finish your shift. Friends, I knew right then, it's time for me to go. And I did not come back. Flee fornication. Run away from it. That was Paul's advice, and that's some good advice. But we need to have that stamina, that idea that we're going to follow after what God wants and not follow after what Satan wants. Not follow the desires of our fleshly bodies. Sex with someone other than your spouse will never work. Friends, we need to make up our minds that this is going to be the only place. God designed marriage for that purpose. And so you and I, we don't want to follow something outside of God's purpose. Only with your spouse and only when that person is your spouse. Don't engage in any other way or any other time. Marriage is honorable, God said. The marriage bed undefiled. But anywhere else brings defilement. Let us make up our mind. Let us set our spirit on the course of God. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 21, having that relationship, that physical relationship with someone who is not your spouse is sin. We need to recognize that. The world today says it's okay. The world today says, oh, you need to indeed find out whether you are compatible or not. That's what the world says. But what does God say? God says you wait till marriage. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20, controlling your body is possible. And it is required. Open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let us look at this just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Here Paul writes these words. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Now friends, this word here translated sexual immorality, it is that Greek word porneia. Fornication. That's what it is. He who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is what God's will is for us today. That we would glorify Him in this fleshly body by restraining ourselves, by controlling ourselves in the way that God would have us to do. But then, if we flee fornication, then that's going to take that one out of the way. We're not going to have to worry about it if we set our minds to do that very thing. But the danger is still there. Just because we do not commit adultery does not mean that we have not sinned. It again requires our self-control in order to overcome this god of Asageia. We must abstain from lasciviousness. Abstain. Stay away from it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 3. Here Peter writing this was very explicit. And I love the way that the New King James words this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 3. He says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles." Now friends, when he says the will of the Gentiles here, he's talking about serving those evil lusts that the Gentiles served. Spent enough time doing that. It's time to stop. It's time to repent. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. The time for that is finished. Now you're Christian. Now it's time to follow God. Now it's time to do the things that God would have us to do rather than following after our own pleasures. And then making out and wandering hands. Oh, does that happen in the world today? Does that happen among even those in the church? Friends, we need to be aware of it. We need to teach. We need to instruct. We need to help our people to understand what God would have us to follow after. It is a wicked, wicked evil when we follow God or Satan's way rather than God's will. We should not never do that. And then, intimate touching, exploring, dancing with anyone that God has not joined you to is sin. Friends, this lasciviousness that we think, well, everybody's doing it, so why not? You know, one of the things that people say about abstinence, the teaching that we refrain, that we stay away from. They say, well, it just doesn't work. Well, friends, maybe it doesn't work because we're not teaching enough. Because we're not helping them to lay that foundation. There are some who do. Friends, you and I, we must not give up on the will of God and accept the will of the world. Never, never should we do such a thing. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 just a moment. In verse number 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 21. Listen to these words carefully. "Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication and lewdness which they have practiced." Who's he talking to? Brethren in the church. That's who he's talking to. And so you and I, we must be aware of this and guard against it and fight it in every place. Controlling your hands, controlling your thoughts is possible. It can be done. And it is required. Young people, remember that. It is required that we control ourselves, that we indeed do what God would have us to do in these kind of situations. And if we do that, that god of Asageia will not be a danger to us. But we're not finished yet. lusting is still a sin. It requires abstinence and self-control. We must abstain. Well, I mentioned lasciviousness already. But looking at and sexually desiring only your spouse, and only when that person is your spouse. Now, we understand that God designed the male and the female to be attractive to one another. But friends, until we make that step of saying, I do, in that wedding ceremony, performing that vow, we must abstain, stay away from. And then afterwards, we must keep our desires at home. Not allow them to be opened up for all the world out here. But friends, guard your heart with all diligence, Solomon wrote. And so you and I, we want to do that. Guard ourselves. Not allow ourselves to lust and follow after those things that are out there in the world. Turn over with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3 and 4. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. That's God's will. See, my body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my spouse, my dear wife, Pam. And so it is that I cannot share it with someone else. I'm limited. I am here, and so I must not allow my lust to go outside of that. If I do, I have sinned. Friends, we need to recognize that lust is sin. Jesus Himself said, Matthew 5, verse 27 and following, that you should not look upon a woman to lust after her. For if you do, you have committed adultery with her already in your heart. And so we want to keep our eyes. Job said in Job chapter 31, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maiden. And so we can do the same, can't we? That we can train ourselves, that we can have that resistance, that we can do what God would have us to do in order to remain pure as God would have us to be. I mentioned that already in Job chapter 1. But controlling your eyes, controlling your desires is possible and it is required. And so we have to follow after what God. When we do that, then that God of lust, we don't have to worry about it. We're not following after that idol. But we're not finished yet. We need to also remember self-control when it comes to living out here in the world, that we might abstain from this nakedness that the world loves. Friends, if you don't think so, just go down to the mall and sit around for a little while. And you'll see what I'm talking about. It is rampant. Just walk through and look at the display cases. Look at the advertisement on television. And you'll see what I'm talking about. It is out there everywhere. Save the privacy of your body only for your spouse and only when that person is your spouse. Make a commitment. This is what I'm going to do. This is my commitment to God that I will restrain myself from doing this evil. And I will not go around naked. Dressing immodestly is sin. You know, many times we have this idea, well, you're causing somebody else to lust when you dress that way. But friends, I want to share with you that immodest dress is itself sinful. You remember there in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 7, 8 and following there how that they were naked, even with the fig leaves, and God made them tunics. They needed more covering. That was not sufficient. Friends, some of the modern bathing suits are less than fig leaves. But it doesn't matter if we're showing ourselves in such a manner. We need to control what we're wearing. Is it possible? You know, I went shopping with my daughter the other day. She's 14 years old and she's at that teenage years, you know, when they want to look like the other teenagers look, and pulled out one skirt that just came midway of her thighs, and I said, don't even think about it. We're not going there. If it's not modest, it's not coming to my house. Friends, I admit, it is a great challenge today to find modest clothing for teenagers. It is. But there are some websites that advertise modest clothing. There are seamstresses that will make clothes. You can still buy the patterns there in the store and the cloth at various places. And we can do what God would have us to do. We can. But it takes determination that we will do God's will and not our own. We don't want to be conformed to this world. But we want to be transformed. When we do that, that God of Gumnos, it won't be a problem. And so you see how that nakedness leads to lust, and lust leads to lasciviousness, and lasciviousness leads to fornication. And we don't want to bow down to any of those. But we want to do what God would have us to do. And so what is the will of God? Well, He wants us to be mindful of others, mindful of our own behavior when we're out, mindful of our own attire, mindful of our influence. Are we the salt of the world? Are we the light? Friends, are we placing a stumbling block before others? Are we leading others to sin? We need to think about our example. Hey, are we being harmful that others might want to imitate us as we bow down to these gods? We must be a different people, a peculiar people. A people who indeed stand for God's truth. The worship of these gods is very powerful in the world today. Some folks will go right on living. When you hear something like this, well, I know the preacher said that, but you know, we're just going to keep going this way. We're just not going to pay any attention to it. But why is it, do you think, that elders and faithful preachers always stand against dancing, always stand against immodest dress, always stand against those things that will lead people in the pathway of idolatry? That is worldliness. Friends, it's because it is wrong. And so we need to be aware of that. Some parents will excuse it. Some authorities will commend it. That is this sinfulness that is going on. Some religions will consecrate the evil out there. That's right. You know, Pat Robertson just a few days ago said, well, we need to legalize marijuana. Yeah. There are others who do other things that are worldly, who are trying to follow after these things. Some of your friends and peers will practice these things and they will strive to get you to follow their example. But you must be willing to stand strong. Satan will love it. You know, that's the truth, isn't it? Satan loves it when we bow down to these gods and not the God of heaven. God condemns these things. Whose will is more important? Your will or God's will? Friends, when we think about God's will, that's the only one that will save us. That's the only one that will carry us into that home for all eternity. And so you and I, we need to look at it. We can reject this message, but if we do, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 just a moment. If we reject this message, I want you to look at verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. Oh, wait, no, I don't reject God. Don't. Friends, when we reject the Word of God, we're rejecting God. It's that simple. And we don't need to try to justify ourselves where we are. But we need to move to where God is so that we can be pleasing to Him. Rejecting this message is also rejecting the living God. You're not rejecting me, you're rejecting God. And as a result, the Lord is the avenger of those who reject it. Look at verse 6. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Friends, that's serious. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. As you sow, so shall you reap. And so we need to be a people who are standing strong, standing firm, in that place that God would have us to stand, and not in our own pleasures. What about you? Where are you standing? Is a few moments of earthly pleasure worth an eternity in hell? Is it? Oh, we need to give serious consideration. Are we being tempted? Are we allowing our eyes to drift toward someone who is not our spouse? Are we feeling those desires of lust in our heart? Are we participating in lasciviousness? Do we think that I can do this and I'll never be caught? I'll never... God knows. And be sure your sins will find you out. Friends, it's not too late. Not too late. As long as we're alive, as long as we're breathing, as long as we have the mind to repent and come back to God, He is willing to accept us. Oh, the love and the mercy of God. Oh, how far His grace indeed goes, that you and I might be His children, that we might continue to walk in the light. And so God's will is calling to you. If you've forsaken that will, come back tonight. If you've not become a part of that will, then why not do it right now? Why not give that confession? Why not be lowered in that watery grave of baptism, having repented of your sins, that you might be that new creation in God? God is waiting. He wants all of your heart.